thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If you have a Bible and you want to follow on in the Word of God, you can turn with me to the little book of 1 John, please. 1 John and chapter 2. Back in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, we have this very profound encounter between the Lord Jesus Christ coming towards the cross and Pilate, who was the government, as it were, the Roman authority in the land. And Jesus has stood trial before the religious leaders, and now they have brought him to Pilate because they had no power to execute him, and they wanted Jesus dead. They wanted him out of the way completely and utterly. And Pilate's trying to work this all out. He's not sure what's going on, and he says to Jesus, because Jesus has been speaking about his kingdom, and he says to Jesus, "So you're a king then?" Jesus answered and he said, "You said rightly, I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Now, just think of that for one moment. Here in this vital encounter, Jesus is unveiling his purpose, his reason for being here on earth, and he says it is to bring the truth. He says, "I was born into this world that I should bear witness of the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And then Pilate asked him this very profound question. He says, "What is truth?" And I've been thinking about this for a few weeks. What is truth? And then Pilate made this statement and he said, I find no fault in him. And he gave him back again to the Jews. What is truth? I don't know whether any of you are into your sports or not, but we're just recently past the Olympics, and we were watching it one night, and Barbara actually said, "Look at the beautiful skyline." And I was looking at it. I have to confess, I was looking at the timber in the frames and thinking, that's a nice wee bit of cedar there. I would cost a fortune nowadays if you were trying to buy it. And then I began to think, I wonder where that studio actually is. And unfortunately, it's not in Tokyo. It was in Salford in Manchester. And it didn't just quite look as nice as this. It actually looked a wee bit more like this here in reality. And with the power of modern technology, it was made to look very, very different. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's just using the latest technology. But it brought home to me this reality, this thought. We live in a day and age when things are often not what they seem. We used to say, for those that are my age and older, didn't we? We used to say the camera never lies. And I think in 2021, we could turn that around and say, well, the camera never tells the truth, because things so often are not what they seem. And that doesn't just apply to technology. Now, we were talking about Zoomland. I don't know whether you had your nice filters on when you were there or not, so you could just fall out of bed and then look so pretty with your filters on in Zoomland or whatever. But we live in a world where it's hard to discern what is reality. Everything is mixed up, isn't it? If life was complicated 2 years ago, here in 2021, it is so much more difficult, so much more hard to find the reality. And we ask this question, we need to ask this question, what is truth? I was listening to a very well-known American preacher, and he was speaking to his young people that were about to head off to college and to university, and he said, you need two things in this day and age. He says, you need conviction. You need to believe something, and you need to know why you believe it. And he says, you need critical thinking. Critical thinking. Don't just accept everything you're told. You need to think it through. You need to seek to find the truth. So in this world today, in 2021, who do we believe? Who do we believe? I could spend a long time on this and I could get really sidetracked and could end up getting myself into trouble altogether, but we'll take a wee thought of this. Do we believe our government? Do we believe our government today? And I'm going to talk about our national government. And I could just say one word, one name, couldn't I? Boris. Do we believe him or not? Well, we'll leave that there and I'll get into deep water altogether. Do we believe our media? I hope I'm not offending anybody here, but there's a wee saying I quite like. Is that true, or did you hear it on the BBC? And, you know, do we believe what we hear on the media around about us? And I have experienced, even in these past months, the reality of what I'm seeing on the ground is contrary to what I'm hearing in the headlines of our media. Do we believe our social media that carries such weight today, particularly among our young people, our Facebook for those of us that are older, or Twitters or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it might be? Is that where we turn for the source of our information? We just have to look back to the last American election, where it was decided by these media bosses to completely silence one of the candidates in the election, to remove him completely off social media, whether you love him or loathe him. But he was just taken off, so only one side of the debate was presented to the people. We can't believe our social media. A new term that we've come up with in recent years is fact checkers. And we can believe them, surely, because they're fact checkers. Well, I was looking at just one company a week ago in the United Kingdom that's used quite heavily. And then I found that the person who ran it was a former government minister. So we're going around in circles then, don't we, when we begin to look at that. And so we could go on. And I want to be very careful here, because I don't want to undermine trust. But we have to have this critical thinking. I was thinking of this just this week when I saw a video of a young man being arrested on the streets of Northern Ireland for preaching the gospel by the PSNI. And I was reading afterwards, after they arrested him, they didn't know what to do next, and they had to de-arrest him half an hour later because what they had done was wrong. But, you know, I was brought up to respect authority, and now we have to look at some authority and wonder what is going on here. Trust our scientists, we're told. And again, I hope I'm not going to offend anybody. I had a great interest in this past month or so in the whole issue of the vaccination of under 18s, as that's the age bracket that my children fall into. And back on the 19th of July, the Joint Vaccination Committee issued a statement saying that the risks outweighed the benefits for vaccinating under 18s. And yet today it's a widespread practice a few weeks later. I asked what happened, what changed, and did a little research. And I found out that between the 19th of July and the end of July, four of the scientists that were on that committee that said, no, the risks outweigh the benefits were, I don't know how we put this phrase, the paper says they were let go. I had this picture of them being sent to outer Siberia or something like this. So we can say, believe the scientists, but which scientists do we believe? Do we believe this one or that one? It is so difficult today to get into the reality of what is going on in the world around about us. And that's why I want to pull us right back here to the Word of God. Because though we are living in confusing times today in 2021, this is not the only or the first time that there have been confusing times. There have been many confusing times. And here, John was writing to the church in a time of confusion. There was a theory, a line of thought that was creeping into the church known as Gnosticism. And we're not going to really look at that this morning, but we want to look at what John says in the light of confusion that's going on around about him. And we're reading here in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 18. John says here, little children. And he's saying this as a term of, as a father. He's saying, look, I care for you. I love you. I want what is best for you. This is the heart that is coming behind him. And he says, little children, it is the last hour. It is the last hour. Now, if John wrote this around nearly 2,000 years ago, and he writes then it is the last hour, where are we today? Where do we stand in God's timetable today? If John could look at the world around about him and say it's the last hour, where are we today? I bought a book that I haven't got to read yet, but I was just flicking through it, and I came across this little illustration that I thought was so telling. The author was saying that the end times are like a triangle that's on its side. So there's the broad side and the pointy side. And he says history's like this, and it's moving towards the point of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you get closer to the point, things seem to be more compressed and accelerated and happening so much faster. And isn't that where we are today? And we might touch on that in just a little moment. So it is the last hour, and you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, and because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either, and he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. And what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those that try to deceive you. But the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. And when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Amen. John is saying here that we need to discern the deception that is in the world. And the deception that he speaks of here, he says, is the deception that is anti-Christ. Very interesting, and I actually, when I was looking at this, I had to do a double take. It's only here in John that we come across this phrase antichrist in the scriptures. Jesus never used it. Paul never used it. As far as we know, you can correct me if I got this wrong. We don't find it in the book of Revelation. It's just here, antichrist. And John says the spirit of antichrist, that which is against Christ or instead of Christ or opposite to Christ, is abroad in the world. And we need to remember this. The world system is anti-Christ. The world's governments, by and large, are anti-Christ. And they're leading up to this coming of the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness. But all around about us, there is this spirit that is opposed to the truth of the Word of God. And therefore, we need to be people of discernment. We need to be people who are looking at things and seeking to work out what is true and what is not true. Without this, we fall into great confusion all around about us. Right at the beginning of this little letter, John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands and have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. You don't get anything else from what I am seeking or trying to say this morning. Just grasp this thought of John. John speaking, in the beginning was the life. Jesus was there in the beginning. And then he's pointing forward to the last hour. And he says, Jesus is coming back again. And he said, in the midst of the confusion that's going on around about you, keep this thought foremost in your head. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He was there in the beginning. He will be there in the end. When you don't know what is happening, rest in Jesus. And he uses this little word here, abide. And well, you see, those of us who've been around church a long time, we know this word, but I was thinking of this during the week. You know, it's not something we use too often. We didn't say to the children, now you just abide here at home while we go out and do the shopping. You know, we don't use this word by and large outside of our Christian circles. So it's kind of lost its meaning a little bit. And we have to pick that up again, and we'll look at that in just a few moments. But here's this thought, this overriding thought that I want you to take with you this morning. We can rest in Jesus in the midst of confusion because he was there at the beginning and he will be there at the end. And we'll gather that together again a little later. Now, he's telling them to discern the truth. And so he says, look at those who remained faithful and steadfast in discipleship. Now, he says there were those who used to be with us and they have gone out from us. Now, don't be thinking, I know them. They used to come to this church and they don't come here any longer. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about those who used to be in the truth of the Word of God and in the truth of the gospel. And now they don't hold to that any longer. They've moved away from that. I came across this little quote and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. He says, absolute truth, which says that what is true for one person is true for all persons, times, and places. See, truth doesn't change, does it? It doesn't change. And what was true in the year 2000, what was true in 1970 and 1950, what was true when John was writing the Word of God, what was true when Jesus walked here on earth, is still true today. John said, if you want to know what is the truth, look at what you were brought up in. Look at the truth of the Word of God. Look at it and abide within us. You see, 2 + 2 = 4. Whether you're in Ballymoney or Belfast or Baghdad or wherever in the world you are, that truth is the same. And it's the same yesterday, it's the same today, and it will be the same tomorrow. Truth doesn't change, does it? Truth remains the same. It's like the two rails on the railway. I was just checking, they're 4 foot and 8.5 inches apart. And if they're 4 foot, 8.5 inches apart in Ballymoney, and you're on the train, you better hope that they're 4 foot, 8.5 inches apart when you get to Ballymena. We can't say, well, in Ballymena, we like to round it up to 5 foot down here and makes life a little bit easier. And when you get to Belfast, they say, well, we don't have a lot of room down here. We'll cut it down to 4 foot. It doesn't change, does it? It has to stay the same. And it's with truth, with God's truth, with any truth, truth does not change. It has to stay the same. And so we have to say today, what was sexual sin in 1950 is sexual sin in 2021. We can't say, well, times have changed. We can't say, well, you have to look at what's going on in the world around about us. No, it is the same. We can say the same when it comes to gender issues that seem to be a massive thing in our world today. You know, what was the truth when you were being brought up is the truth today, it hasn't changed. It's the same when it comes to abortion. If it was wrong 20 years ago, 40 years ago, it is wrong today. And all that goes with it that we could seek to speak about. But truth is truth. So here John says, look at those who are abiding in the truth. Truth isn't trending. Truth doesn't change. Truth remains the same down through the ages. And then he says, the second thing we have, and praise God for this morning. He says, we have the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, I struggle with this a wee bit because we don't have perfect knowledge. But what he's saying here is we have the teacher who dwells within us. We have the Holy Spirit. There's times I don't know all things. My shower broke during the week and I was trying to fix it, and it was a wee bit of a struggle at times. But here when it comes to truth, we can know all things. We can know what is true and we can know what is wrong because we don't have to listen to man. We can listen to God. And he's telling us here there's a difference in this knowledge. He says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and no lie is of the truth. Now, there's two types of knowledge. There's the knowledge that we gain by experience. As I said, I was in this building before, so I had an idea where it was when I was coming. That was knowledge that I gained from experience. But the knowledge that John is speaking about here is different. He's speaking of an intuition. He's speaking of a knowing beyond our knowledge. And that's what we believe in when we come to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when we come to these revelatory gifts that we believe in. God can give us a knowledge that is beyond our human understanding. God can give us a knowledge that is beyond what we know from experience or being told or taught by other people. And praise God for this. And in this day and age of confusion around about us, of great lostness around about us, we need to be people who are seeking to live in this revelatory knowledge more and more, that we can reach out and impact the world around about us. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Telling us to discern what is going on in the world around about us. And then he speaks here about the truth that we have received in the gospel. Verse 24, I think it is. Therefore, let that abide in you what you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie. And just as he's taught you, you will abide in him. For those who had the privilege of Sunday school and children's meetings, one of the very first verses many of us learned, wasn't it, was John 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And in the confusion of the world where we say, what is truth? We can come back to Jesus. And we can say, Jesus is truth. And he tells us the truth. I put this wee slide up and I didn't take time to count it up to check it, but it says that 76 times Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He came to bear witness to the truth. He came to bring truth. He is truth. And he brings it to us. And because he is truth, he does not change. We've already said truth doesn't change. And therefore he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same. He is the same. We might touch on this if you allow me back next week. I've been studying a little bit about the kingdom of God. And just thinking of this fact that what Jesus ushered in the New Testament hasn't changed, because Jesus doesn't change. He doesn't change. And if he carried you through the storm of yesterday, he can carry you through the storm of today, and he can carry you through the storm of tomorrow. We have received the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have this precious message to share with others around about us. And I know it is difficult. I find it, well, interesting is an understatement, to move from basically a lifetime of what we would call Christian service or Christian work or full-time Christian ministry into working in just very ordinary situations with a lot of different people and mixing amongst them and seeking to see where they're coming from and getting alongside them in the workplace day after day, and to see the lostness. To see the lostness that there is in our province around about us. To see how far people are away from God. To see that our young people are growing up in a society that is wrought with so many problems, so many issues. It's so easy sometimes for us to sit. Here's another term we've learned, isn't it? Bubble. We are all in our different bubbles. But we can sit in our church bubble, unaware of the great need that is outside of that bubble, just an arm's reach away from where we sit, basically. And they need the truth of the gospel as we have received the truth of the gospel also. Jesus is the truth. And again, John is telling them here to abide in the truth, to dwell in it or to rest in it. It's where we find ourselves. If we were to use old English and speaking of our home, we might have said it was our abode. It was our abode. It was the place where we stayed. And I have to ask this question as I've asked my heart and have to ask my heart. Are we really living in Christ? It's easy for us to say, yes, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It's easy for us to say, yes, he is in control of all things. It's easy for us to sing, he is risen and he's alive today and he's coming back to take us to be with him. And whether he would call or come, we can look to him. And then life happens. And I can look out and I can say this morning, because apart from a few of you, most of you are, I don't know, so I'm not speaking to anybody, and I don't know much about what you've been through in the past year or so. But I look at so many believers, so many Christians who come to church, and they've allowed themselves to get gripped with fear. Gripped with fear. And if we really believe this, that we're in Christ, if we really believe that to live is Christ, to die is gain, well, there's no room for fear. Now, don't get me wrong, we don't do stupid things, we don't invite death, we don't necessarily look forward to it, we have loved ones and responsibilities and all the rest, but we still shouldn't be living in fear. We're in Christ, whether we're here, whether we're gone. If we believe this, we're resting in him. This living in Jesus is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. It's actively staying where we are. I don't tell my dog to abide, but I've given up on doing this, but I used to tell him to sit. And it really was an effort for him. And when you moved at all, he moved as well. But he actively had to think about it when he was sitting there. And his legs might have been staying and his back end might have been moving because he wanted to move. But it was actively staying. We actively have to be in Christ. It's not something we just fall into. We have to be in Christ. We have to be remaining in Christ, and we have to do it actively. Charles Spurgeon said, we abide in him, not by a physical law, as a mass of iron abides on the earth, but by a mental and spiritual law, by which the greatness of divine love and goodness holds us fast to the Lord Jesus. We continue as a state or condition of activity. It remains to stay in the same place over a period of time, to remain to stay. Abide in the message that you have heard. Abide in Jesus Christ. And one of the main ways that we do this is by abiding in the Word of God, by being in the Scriptures, in the Bible, reading it, thinking upon it, pondering it, personal contact with God through the Word of God, getting it into us, allowing us to saturate us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Smith Wigglesworth was a Pentecostal pioneer of the last century and a totally amazing man. I remember listening to a little series of four sermons by someone who ministered with him, just speaking about his life. And it was an extraordinary life altogether. A man who knew much of the empowering of the Holy Spirit upon his ministry. And he was a peculiar man in many ways, but one of his peculiarities was that he wouldn't allow a newspaper into the house. If anybody brought a newspaper into the house, he was told to get out straight away. And of course, the newspaper in his day was equivalent to all that we mentioned of our mainstream media, whether it's TV or social networks or whatever. And this little quote's attributed to him. You just fired for us there, please. Sorry, go on another one. We missed that one. He said, this is what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, if I read the newspaper, I come out dirtier than I went in. If I read my Bible, I come out cleaner than I went in. And I like being clean. Now, couldn't we apply that to so much today? I know I'll not mention the man who calls himself the biggest show in the country, but I meet these Christians and they're saying, oh, did you hear that? I got really annoyed by that. I'm saying, well, what do you listen to it for then? If it annoys you, why do you listen to it whatsoever? But it's true, isn't it? When we sit down at times to listen or watch the news, it can defile us. But when we come to the truth of the Word of God, it doesn't defile us. It purifies us. It cleanses us. It builds us up. It encourages us. It leads us forward. Let's be people of the book, people of the Word of God. And then John's keeping this picture in front of them. He says, and now little children abide in him, that when he appears we may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. See, John's pointing here to the coming of Jesus. Now, I was a teenager back in the 1980s, and I can remember, whether it was just the circles I moved in or what, but the second coming was spoken about a lot. There was the films of end times and stuff. Some of them were pretty horrific. I think they were designed to scare people into the kingdom. But it was talked about a lot. And then we moved towards the year 2000, and Barbara and I got married in the year 2000. As a blessing for me, for it's easy to remember what year I got married in. But there was this dear lady, and she told Barbara, you're wasting your time planning your wedding, because Jesus will come back before then. There's no point in you planning it whatsoever. And in our graciousness, we've never reminded her about that at all. And we still see her from time to time, 21 years later. But then people seemed to get very comfortable, didn't they, in the noughties. And we live in a very materialistic age. Now, I wonder even today, is there that yearning within our hearts? We can look at the signs of the times, but is there that yearning within our hearts? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Do we desire to be the people who see him at his coming? Robert Murray McShane died as a young man at the age of 28 in Scotland. But before his death, he had rocked that country for the Lord Jesus Christ. How it needs it again, like all our lands. But the story is told that Robert Murray McShane used to get up in the morning and open the curtains. And he used to say, "Perhaps today, Lord Jesus, perhaps today." And at night he would draw the curtains and he would say, "Perhaps tonight, Lord Jesus, perhaps tonight." He was living in the light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have this beautiful truth that we're going to close with here this morning. That John tells us here that we do not need to be ashamed at his coming because we are in Christ. In Christ. That word translated ashamed, it appears only here in John's writing. And it's that idea of shrinking back through guilt and shame. You know, maybe you've experienced it in your own life. And when you've done something you've known that was wrong and you were confronted with it and you felt ashamed. Or maybe you've seen it perhaps in the life of your children when they broke something or did something they knew they shouldn't. And you walk into the room and they shrink back from you because there's shame there at what they did. But here's this beautiful truth. For those who are abiding in Christ, resting in Christ, whose faith is in Christ, we do not need to be ashamed because our confidence is not in Andre. Our confidence is not in Balamoni Elam. Our confidence is only in Christ where we are abiding in him and in him alone. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:6, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Why? Because when Jesus hung on that cross, in your place and my place, he was openly put to shame. He took my shame. He took my sin. He took my guilt upon himself. And therefore, when I am in Christ, he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the truth, the way, and the life. And when I am resting in him, and when I am filling my mind with the truth of his word, I'm not saying don't be aware of what's going on in the world. I'm not saying don't listen to the news, but I am saying don't live in the news. Don't live in the agenda of the world. Live in the word and live in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we don't need to fear. And we don't need to be ashamed. And we don't need to be worked up and scared because we have this confidence that we are in him. And yes, I am convinced that Jesus Christ is coming again very soon. And we need to be seeking to share this truth in the light of that, with those who do not know or do not understand. And we can have this concept that everyone knows the gospel, and yet very few people have a true understanding of what Jesus is all about. And we've a great responsibility upon us because of that. I trust that these few thoughts will be of an encouragement to you this morning. Yes, there's confusion in this world. There was confusion in the world in John's day. And this was his answer. Abide in the truth. And this is the answer today. Abide in the truth. Let's pray together as we bring this part of our service to a close. Father God, I do just pray, particularly for those here who are listening, whose minds perhaps at times are in turmoil, torn, tossed, not knowing which way to turn. Father, we acknowledge that we live in times confusing days, difficult days. But in the midst of them all, may we turn again and again actively to abide, to rest, to live by faith in our lovely Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you this morning that he is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is the one who took our guilt and shame upon himself on the cross of Calvary. And we cry out this morning, hallelujah, what a Savior we have in Jesus. And we thank you that when we are found in him, when we're resting in him, when we're believing in him, we don't need to fear. We don't need to be confused. We don't need to be concerned. We don't need to be filled with shame, because Jesus is our all in all. May these truths from the Word of God grip our hearts this morning, and may we live in the light of them in the days that lie ahead. And as we come now just to think and continue to think about all that Jesus has done for us, may these truly be precious and sacred moments.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.